I need to tell you about before we begin our lesson. Reminder about the Sweetheart Dinner that is coming up on the 18th, not this weekend, but the following weekend. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. We need you to sign up there so we know how much food to prepare for and so forth, so please keep that in mind. Reminder that the orientation for the School of Biblical Studies will be this Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. If you have not signed up yet, you would like to take the class, or if you just have questions about it, come out Tuesday evening, and we're going to talk about what this next course of study will be all about. To let you know that Jonathan is home from the hospital. Went home yesterday, I believe it was, and is doing well, so please continue to keep him in your prayers. And Art and Bert are not here this morning because Bert's still struggling with her pain and all from when she fell back a few weeks ago. Please continue to keep both of them in your prayers, all right? And then finally, next Sunday, you will have the treat and the blessing of having Brian preach for you, and Cindy and I will be in Spartanburg next weekend. I'm going to be speaking at the Central Church of Christ there, doing some marriage and family stuff for them. And so Brian will be filling in, Dale will be teaching the Bible class, and he mentioned to me this morning, for those of you in the Bible class, he's going to be talking about the seven churches of Asia next week. So keep that in mind. You can maybe read up a little bit about that in Revelation, and he'll be talking about focusing on that. So we're talking about sharing Jesus in our Jerusalem. Before we begin our lesson, though, this morning, there's three that I need to show you here. First of all, this is a photograph of Scott Bennett being baptized
Two weeks ago.
You remember, Scott is a contact that Brian made through the firefighters ministry, and he's been working with him and studying over the phone. Scott is from Arizona, if I remember correctly, originally, but now he's in
Meridian, Mississippi.
Meridian, Mississippi. So, you know, Brian's been kind of doing this, you know, long distance and so forth to show you, you know, how we can study with people and talk with him. And he had the pleasure of baptizing Scott a couple of weeks ago down at the Chesapeake Church of Christ, where Scott's son, Clinton, also was baptized the same day. Clinton is living there in Chesapeake. And So Brian was able to connect them with the church there in Chesapeake, and the brethren there welcomed them in. And that's something, you know, great that Brian has been doing in this firefighter ministry. I hope that you are continuing to keep that ministry in your prayers. And so Brian is doing great work with that. And please continue to keep these two brand new brothers in Christ in your prayer also. Brian Clinton and Scott Minow. So what a great work that Brian's been doing there. Now, finally, before our lesson, I know you've been wondering because you didn't hear. These are our first, second, and third place champions from last month's chili cook-off that we had. We had a great time doing that, and just really fun for everybody that was able to be there for that. Cindy won the first place, and Kathy was second, right? And Kay was third. Did I get that right? Okay. So we're just really glad that all those were able to come and participate and just have a good time with that. We have for this month our soup. Is our fourth Sunday fellowship time gathering. We're going to have a soup supper. So I want you to plan to come out and join us for that. So we're talking about sharing Jesus in our Jerusalem. And what we're going to be talking about and focusing on a lot throughout this year. I want to kind of plant this in your mind and in your heart, this idea of sharing Jesus in our Jerusalem. Now, we're not going to focus specifically on this in every lesson that we're doing, but you're going to hear this over and over again as we're really trying to emphasize the idea of reaching out and sharing Jesus with the people that are in our lives. And now we're talking about those within our family, our family members. Okay, it's also our friends, the people that we hang around with all the time. It's our neighbors. and also our co-workers. These are people that are in our lives on some kind of a regular basis. They make up our Jerusalem. And this is all about being able to share Jesus with people that we are involved with in our regular lives, even those who are perfect strangers. Sometimes we encounter people in our Jerusalem, and God brings those people into our Jerusalem. I would suggest to you, for no other reason than for us to be able to take a moment and share Jesus with them. You never know. We might be the only opportunity that they have to hear about Jesus. See? But they're part of our Jerusalem. God brings people into our lives all the time. People that you never thought of, you never realized, and here they are all of a sudden. You might ask yourself, why? Why did I run into this person? It may be for this very reason. So you have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. You see, it's really about learning how to make an impact for Christ in the lives of other people. And another way to put that is simply to make a difference in somebody's life. But to make a difference for Jesus. You see, there are a lot of people that are in our own Jerusalems. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about what that means in a few minutes, but a lot of people in our Jerusalem that are struggling with different things going on. It may be physical things, it may be emotional things, it may be spiritual things. You just never know what someone else might be struggling with in their life. And as we learn to share Jesus with other people, we can make a difference in that person's life. Right? So that's really what we're talking about. We go to our text that we read this morning as we began, Acts chapter 1, and we're focusing primarily on verse 8 here, okay? Where Jesus says to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It is all about being witnesses for Jesus in our lives. But here's a couple of things that we need to understand about how do we go about doing that in a very effective way. The first thing we have to realize is that we have power, and we need that power to be able to share Jesus in our Jerusalem. In other words, when Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out and to share and to be witnesses, he did not send them out alone. Okay? And you need to understand that. Instead, Jesus told his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem yet. Wait, he said. Wait in the city for the gift my Father promised you. Okay, now, what was that gift really all about? Well, go back and look at what he says here. He says, first of all, wait. Mm-hmm. All right, and that's an important word because sometimes we need to wait. Because we're not really ready yet, as they were not ready yet. And Jesus recognized that. Okay? So we need to make sure that we are ready. Now, let's make sure also that we don't use wait as an excuse. Okay? And then we sit back and somebody says, how come you're not out there? We're going, well, I'm waiting. Okay? All right? Well, you only need to wait for a certain amount of time. Okay? He says, wait until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. Okay, but look at what he says. But you will receive power. Right? Jesus promises them power. And then there's that word when. When is that going to happen? When are they going to receive power? Well, he says, the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay, they received that power. So they were to wait until they received that power, the gift that the Father had promised to give them. Now, once they received that power, okay, then they were able to be witnesses, and they were to then go out and to be the witnesses that God sent them to. So again, waiting is only a temporary thing. So you need to wait. Okay, only for a time. And then you go. And you share the message with other people. Okay? Now, the reason that Jesus told his disciples to wait is because he knew that they could not do what he was calling upon them to do by their own power. Okay? You hearing me? They could not do it by their own power. And these are the apostles now, okay? These are folks that were hanging about with Jesus. And they couldn't do it by their own power. So don't think for a minute that you can't either. You see? Jesus knew that Satan would fight them every step of the way. And that they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to help them and to guide them so that they would be successful in being able to share Jesus with the world that he was sending them into. Okay? There's a fight going on. That fight was going on back then. And guess what? Yeah. That fight is still going on today for you and I. Okay? And so you and I still need that same power. And the great news is that we have that same power accessible to us today. All right? We have that same power to be able to share Jesus with other people. And we fight the same enemy. We need to understand that. Satan isn't going away anytime soon. Okay? The Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus wrote these words. He said, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That is the enemy identified. That is who you and I are fighting. You see, you have to understand, Satan does not want us to share Jesus. That's the last thing in the world that he wants us to do. And he's going to put every obstacle in our way that he possibly can to keep us from sharing Jesus. So we need, just like the apostles did, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to stand and to fight against Satan as we share Jesus with other people. And we have that same Holy Spirit that they had back then. Why? Because how many Holy Spirits are there? There's only one. There's only one. We have the same Holy Spirit living and working in us today to help us to be able to be successful in standing against Satan. Okay? Look at what the Apostle Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, when he got up before the people and preached to them about Jesus, as he began to share Jesus to be a witness in Jerusalem on that day. Okay? He said to them, "Repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And then what? Look at the very bottom. "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Okay? So when a person is baptized into Christ, just like Scott and Clinton did a couple of weeks ago, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that came upon the apostles. Now, that's where we understand something. He did not come upon them the same way he does us today. Okay? That was a miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit that enabled the apostles at that point to be able to speak in tongues and to do other miracles, which God does not give to you and I today. But it's still the same Spirit. And that Spirit lives and dwells within us and gives us what we need to be able to successfully stand against Satan and share Jesus with people in our Jerusalem. Okay? Same Spirit that we have. The second part of this we need to understand is not only do we have that power, okay, that we need to have in order to stand and to fight against Satan, but we are called to be witnesses. Now, we need to understand what that means, okay? Because I'm not sure that we really truly understand completely what does it mean to really be a witness to something. Okay? Well, witnesses are called to testify to what they know. Okay? It's not enough to just know something. Are you hearing me? knowing Jesus doesn't do a whole lot of good for anybody, even you, if you don't testify as to what you know. Okay? So a witness, and you're probably familiar, if you ever watch, you know, Perry Mason or any of the other, you know, I know there's a lot of newer stuff on there, but, you know, I grew up with Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, the witness gets on the stand and they are called to testify as to what they have seen or what they have heard. What do they know about the situation, the crime, or the circumstance, whatever they're being called to testify about? So you see, testifying requires us to talk to other people, to share, to tell others about what we know. Okay? You can know an awful lot about Jesus and about His Word, but if you never testify as to what you know, then you're not helping the cause. And Jesus calls upon all of us to be witnesses, that is then to testify as to what we know about Jesus. Okay? Now, another thing we have to understand about witnesses is that there are generally, there are two main kinds of witnesses, okay? The first one are eyewitnesses, okay? People that are those who have seen and heard something, okay? They actually saw it take place, and so in our court system today, a person who is an eyewitness is allowed to go in and testify as to what they saw or what they heard. Now, the other kind of witness is called a hearsay witness. This is a kind of witness who heard someone else told them what another person said or did. So it's kind of like, you know, well, Sydney told me that Brian did so-and-so. Well, you know, that kind of testimony is not allowed in court. All right? Because the person who actually saw it is the one who needs to testify. So hearsay testimony is not valid in court.
Right.
Now, what does all that have to do with us? Well, first of all, we're not in court, okay? Right. We're in the world testifying about Jesus. In one sense, we are hearsay witnesses. Because none of us were here when Jesus walked the earth.
That's right.
Okay? So what we have is the witness, the eyewitness testimony from those who were, that wrote it down. We can read it and study it. We believe it. And so we are sharing, in a sense, hearsay testimony with other people. But at the same time, we are also eyewitnesses. Okay? We are eyewitnesses to be able to testify, again, here's that word, okay, to testify as to what we do know, all right? And that means to share your story. You see, you are an eyewitness to your story when it comes to Jesus, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that someone else told you happened to you. It's what you know you have experienced with Jesus Christ. You are an eyewitness to that. And so you can indeed share with others what God has blessed you with.
Amen.
What God has done in your life. You can give hearsay testimony from the Bible, okay? You can share that with people. You're allowed to do that. You're encouraged to do that, okay? But along with that hearsay testimony is your own eyewitness testimony as to your experience with Jesus in your life. The reason that I emphasize these two is this, because there are too many Christians who are afraid of the hearsay testimony. Okay, they're going, well, I don't know the Bible well enough. I'm afraid somebody might ask me this question or that question. I don't know what the answer to that is. And we make up all kinds of excuses as to why we don't testify about Jesus. See, why we don't share His Word. Well, you've heard me say this before, and I don't apologize for this. If you don't know His Word well enough, whose fault is that? If you don't know His Word well enough, whose fault is that?
Yeah.
You're wrong. Okay, everybody need to be going, it's mine. Okay? We need to study it more. We need to learn it more. You're not going to learn it by osmosis. You're not going to learn it by sitting the Bible sitting on your coffee table at home. Okay? So dust it off. Open it up. Read it. Study it. Come to Bible class so you can learn more about this hearsay testimony so that you can share it with other people.
Amen.
But having said that, okay, you can share your story as an eyewitness, okay, of the things that God has done in your life, and you are then a credible witness as to what has happened in your life through Jesus Christ. And yes, nobody can ask you a question about that you do not know the answer to. Amen?
Amen.
You see? Because you are an eyewitness to that. And what I'm talking about here is just simply being able to share with someone, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. Let me tell you the difference that He's made in my life. Let me tell you how Jesus has helped me to overcome this. Let me tell you how Jesus has given me the strength to do this. You can do that. And nobody can ask you a question you don't know the answer to about that. Because that is your story. That you are an eyewitness to. You see? And that should have no problem whatsoever standing up under cross-examination. You follow me?
Right.
Okay? You see, that's what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Peter was an eyewitness to the life of Jesus that he had spent with him for 3 to 3.5 years. But he also had a personal story to tell about his own experience with Jesus during that time. So he knew what the scriptures had taught about Jesus. And as he got up there on the day of Pentecost and spoke to the people there in Jerusalem, he went back and told them what the hearsay evidence was. He went back and testified as to what the scriptures taught about Jesus. And then he shared his story. And you and I can do the same thing. We introduce people to Jesus, just like Peter did. And then from there, and this is where some people kind of get, you know, a little scary, a little bit shaky. I'm not really sure where to go with this. That's okay. If you're not sure where to go, then bring them to somebody who does, who knows, and who can, you see? Get help from somebody. You introduce them, okay? And now call upon somebody, the preacher, one of the elders, somebody else that you know can walk this person through and teach them more things perhaps than you can. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a far cry better than going, yeah, I told them about Jesus, but I don't know where to go from there, so I just kind of walked away and left. God, don't do that. Don't do that. That's why God put us in family and community so we could help one another.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. So introduce Jesus to people. Tell them your story. If that person wants to know more, if you can't share with them more, you know, whatever the situation is, call upon someone to help so that person has the opportunity to hear all of the testimony about Jesus. Okay? Now let's talk about this Jerusalem. My Jerusalem that I live in. Now, you need to understand, Jesus calls upon us to be witnesses. Okay? And notice that when he called upon his disciples to be witnesses, the first place that he told them was Jerusalem, right? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay? That's where it started. Okay? And then in Judea and Samaria, which is the surrounding area, okay? And then he said, into all the ends of the earth, which is even more surrounding, right?
Yeah.
Okay? That's everywhere. But it started in Jerusalem. That's the place that he told them to wait, right?
Yeah.
Wait. And then when you're ready, you start in Jerusalem and you go from there. All right? Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, the ends of the earth should be our eventual goal. But we've got to start in Jerusalem. And so what I'm trying to emphasize and focus on with this whole theme and idea is for us to look at our own Jerusalem. That's just the idea. My Jerusalem. What is my Jerusalem? Okay? And I want to suggest to you that every single one of us has our own personal Jerusalem. Okay? We've got to start there because that's where the surroundings are familiar to us, just like it was with the disciples then. You know, we're comfortable there. We know people there. And so it involves those who are in my own home, my family members. Okay? It involves my friends, the people I hang out with. It involves my neighbors, the folks that I live near, those in my neighborhood, and it even involves my co-workers. These are the people that I'm suggesting to you are in your personal Jerusalem. These are the people that you know in one way or another. The people you are familiar with. Now, you need to understand, all of our Jerusalems are going to be somewhat different. There is going to be some crossover. People that we different ones of us know. But there's going to be a lot of people that are in yours that aren't in mine. And some that are in mine that aren't in yours. Because we know different people. But what that really does, if you look at it this way collectively as a church family, we've got a huge Jerusalem, don't we? Jerusalem gets bigger and bigger all the time. Because when we put your Jerusalem with my Jerusalem and all of them together, that covers a lot of folks. And that's what we're really talking about. I'm trying to challenge you and to encourage you to look in your Jerusalem at the people that you are familiar with. Those who still need to know Jesus. Okay? That is your Jerusalem. Alright? And here's the challenge. Find one person. Just one. One person in your Jerusalem to focus on. You think about all the people in your own Jerusalem. Just pick one. You see, oftentimes we get overwhelmed when we think about all the people. But, this. No, I just want you to focus on one. That's the challenge. One person in your Jerusalem who needs to know Jesus. And focus on that one person. Okay? To share Jesus with that one person. Again, what you're doing is you're sharing the gospel with them and you're sharing your life with them. And that's what this is really all about. Okay? It really is a matter of sharing, being a witness to God's work in our lives. It is a matter of sharing what God has done with you. Sharing His Word that brings salvation. But learning to share it in a way that allows people to see how God's Word works in people's lives today. Using ourselves as an example. That's what the challenge is all about. Sharing people in my Jerusalem. So that I can be a witness for Jesus. And it begins in my Jerusalem. Okay? And we're going to be talking about this, you know, in a lot of different lessons throughout the year, just reminding us and challenging us to focus on people that we know in our lives that we can share Jesus with. Now, let me say this as we finish up this morning. You need to understand this. Just like on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up and all the other disciples, they got up and they shared Jesus with all those who were there gathered in Jerusalem. Not everyone accepted Jesus. on that day. 3,000 people did, we know that, right?
Yeah.
But there were a whole lot more people there that day. You need to understand that not everyone is going to accept Jesus. Okay? So I'm adding this to the challenge. You share Jesus with that one person you're focusing on. If that person comes to the point where they say, look, I've heard it, I don't want to hear it anymore, I'm not interested, or whatever, they reject it, answer that, okay, fine, accept that. Don't take it personally. You're just a messenger, okay? They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. Don't hound them and all those kind of things, but focus on another person in your Jerusalem that needs to hear about Jesus. Don't let that stop you, in other words. It didn't stop the disciples in Jerusalem that day. As you read through the book of Acts, you see they continued to go on preaching God's word and telling people about Jesus, and every day people were being saved.
Amen.
And that's really what we need to be doing. Is sharing Jesus with the people in our lives. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life right here this morning. I know that there are some people here this morning who are not Christians yet. I know that you have not accepted Christ. And you just need to understand, and I'm not trying to pressure anybody, but just to make sure that you understand that until you accept Christ into your life and have your sins washed away in baptism, you are separated from God and you will remain so. And our hope and desire for you is that you will accept Christ and that you'll have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism to be reconciled to Him. That's really what we hope to happen with folks. And if that's where you are this morning, we want you to know that you can become a Christian right now this week. We'll even hold up a fellowship meal for you. It's that important to us. Okay? That if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. We got water ready, right, Chuck? Is it warm?
It's warm.
It's warm water.
Fresh.
Okay? Fresh, warm water. You don't have to wait for anything else. And if you're ready to do that, you can do that right now this morning. All you can do is come up and let me know. If there's something else that we can help you with, you're already a Christian, but maybe there's something you're struggling with. You need some prayers or guidance or help, whatever it might be. I'll be up here to receive anyone like to come up front. Dale will be in the back if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. We want to take the opportunity we have to serve and to help you draw closer to Jesus Christ. So if there's anything that we can do, the invitation is open. Let's continue.